Topic 2. A monarchy, a republic, an enemy of Carthage. So in the last topic, we mentioned this pre-Roman culture, the Etruscan culture, which gets its name from Etruria, which, now you may have seen in museums some artwork, some vases. You may say, gee, that's kind of primitive. Well, it's pretty advanced given where it was, but it's primitive relative to what's going to come following in Greco-Roman art and architecture, certainly. But the Etruscans knew how to build roads, and without those roads, nothing would have happened in Rome. Now, the roads in the very beginning of Roman history are largely only within the boot of Italy itself. Nevertheless, that technology, which is going to get better and more efficient every time they build a new road, is really going to have an impact when Rome, at the end of the Republic, around the time of Julius Caesar's assassination, expands northward into modern Europe. In fact, if you've ever driven on the Autobahn, a frightening experience because they drive so quickly, if you dug down 20, 30, 40 feet, you would probably find a Roman road, because why would people, again, to use the cliche, reinvent the wheel? Because the Romans were able to find the shortest distance between two lines. Now, we should say as well that those Roman roads were built by soldiers in the imperial period. But in our period now, in the early period, let's remember that these were built by slaves. So if you come to a hill and you've got to go through it, you can't blast your way through it. They don't have explosives. You use slaves. So there's no question that this was a culture that was built on the blood and sweat and deaths of slaves. But that road culture, that engineering, is very important. The Etruscans also gave the organization of their society to the Romans. And the Etruscans, from what we know, and we've got some pretty good resources there, had a clan structure. And we believe that there was a king of Etruria, but he wasn't a monarch in any pure sense, that he was more a first among equals. And even though we're going to use the word monarchy next, we're using that for convenience. That it was more an example of maybe 5, 7, 10 clans, each clan being an extended family. Within each clan, there would be a first among equals. It might be first by birth. It might be that everybody just realizes this is the most talented and or charismatic person. And so each clan would have a leader, and then the clans would come together, and once again, people would recognize the person who was the most charismatic, the most able, and if there wasn't, surely there would be fights, physical fights over that. But that leader of the clans probably couldn't take action unless he had the assent of all, or at least most, of the other clan leaders, a first among equals. And this is a model that will resonate throughout history. Even at the height of medieval France, the king who controls Paris is not much more than the first among equals and can't do much without the cooperation of others. And so if you follow the story of Romulus and Remus, and even if you don't follow the story exactly of Romulus and Remus, what is it about? It's probably represents infanticide, as we talked about earlier, and probably a fight among clans, either between two major clans or a fight for leadership of the one major clan, Romulus and Remus, brothers, maybe cousins in that culture. And out of that comes what I think is the unknown period of Roman history, and that is the period of the monarchy. Rome had kings, most people would ask. Yes, for about 250 years. 250 years is longer than the United States has been around as a country, to give you some perspective. And yet the monarchy did not simply throw away the system of the Etruscans. They adopted the clan structure, and the Roman king had something called a comitia curiata. Do you hear the word curia there? Court. This was the formal taking of advice among his equals.